Good morning. That line, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I don't know if that hits you like it hits me, but I am just so thankful for God's patience and the challenge of wanting to wander and do my own thing. And I don't think I'm alone in that. So it's a good song to sing to God, to thank him in that way, and to acknowledge, I think, the human condition in all its many expressions. Speaking of human condition, there's a very important person here in the room this morning that we need to just quickly acknowledge. Somebody in this room is turning 60 today. Melita Benson, will you stand up, please? Melita, stand up. Come on, stand up, Melita. We want to say happy birthday, Melita. Happy birthday. I'm going to get in real trouble for this, but are you ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Melita. Happy birthday to you. I kind of wish I wasn't mic'd at that moment, but I was. And I just have to deal with that another aspect of the human condition right there, right? All right. I know, you're older than me and always will be, but let's, I think this would be a good time to pray. Will you join me in that? God, thank you. We really thank you for our lives, Lord. And I know sometimes birthdays are hard. I know for me they are. But God, they're blessings, they're gifts. You give us that life here, and we thank you for that. We thank you for Melita and all that she means to our church family. God, as we open up your word now, I pray that we would not do it in a cavalier way, not in a mechanical way. But God, I pray as we open up your word, as we read it, that we really truly will read it in such a way that we understand it is your very word to us. I pray you would speak through me. I have nothing to say, but you have everything to say. And God, I pray you would use the time that I have in studying for this to serve the people that I love, Lord, in a way that would bring glory and honor to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know it's obvious. I don't have to say this, but I work out at the gym at least about 4 times a week. I'm there before you, big boy, so just shut up, all right? Anyways, you ready? Let's go. So, this week, as I was working out, Duke, I was just looking at people. I'm a people watcher. I just kind of watch people, and I started thinking about the gym. What is it like to be a member of the gym? And the first thing I noticed was that everyone's coming in there with a common goal. I think all of them are coming in there, and they want to grow stronger and healthier. And so everyone's now not everyone's putting in the same amount of effort for that goal, but everyone, I think, is coming in with that idea and that goal in mind. And what's interesting also is you have people from all different walks of life, different ethnicities, different socioeconomic backgrounds, certainly different interests in how they work out and what they do. So you see that. You see people kind of really isolated in a way. There's not a lot of conversation between people. You're kind of just doing your own thing, and people either have their headphones or their earbuds in, and they're really, in all seriousness and the truth being told, they're focused on themselves. Whatever routine, whatever workout, whatever goals or plans they have for the workout, that's what they're doing. And you know, I noticed that you have your regulars that you see. I see several people the days that I'm there, and they just seem like they're the regular crowd. And then you see your sporadic people where you kind of go, wow, I haven't seen that guy in a while, or I haven't seen that girl in a while. And as I was sitting there just kind of working out, thinking about that, I started to think, you know, the gym can look like church in a way. And then I took it one step further and I went, does High Point look like a gym or a church? Which one is it? And I began to think about that. And certainly it has to do with the text that we're going to be looking at this morning in the book of Romans. But I really started to ask myself that question. And I think I'd like to explore that question. Are we, those that are here and those that are tuned in, are we more like a gym Or we're really like a church, because the world, our community, our county, our country, our world does not need another gym. It desperately needs a church. It desperately needs the physical manifestation of Jesus Christ in the world. And Paul begins, if you recall, he spent 11 chapters in the book of Romans talking theology. And then he turns a corner in chapter 12 and he says, all right, now we're going to talk about practice. Now we're going to talk about application, because spiritual maturity is not how much you know, as much as we'd like to think that. It's how much do you live of what you know. So we're going to kind of jump into that, continuing our book of, or studying the book of Romans. So if you'll get your Bible open to your table of contents or your Bible app open, I want you to look for the book of Romans. It is in the New Testament table of contents. It's the sixth book down, and you'll be at chapter 1. Let's all get to chapter 12 of the book of Romans. This is a letter that Paul wrote to people in Rome, both Jews and Gentiles, people just like you and me. And as I said, he spent 11 chapters talking about theology, talking about how much God loves us, how broken we are, and what he did as an expression of ultimate love so that we could be in a reconciled relationship with him. And we could then begin to live out the full potential that God has for us as being his image bearers. And we come to chapter 12. And if you recall last week, I hope the oxymoron stuck in your head last week. I hope it's still sticking there now. I thought to myself that I was going to maybe consider using when I got into a spiritual conversation and people asked me, so are you a Christian? Are you a Christ follower? Are you Baptist? Are you Catholic? Are you non-denominational? I said, no, I'm oxymoron. And I think that would really kind of start the conversation. And it came from chapter 12. Let's look verses 1 and 2, just kind of review. He says, therefore, he's taking a breath. I've just been writing for 11 chapters. He goes, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, which he's just elaborated on, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. There's the oxymoron. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So, he just, in two verses, condenses down, he simplifies the Christian life into those two verses. Because of the mercies of God that he spent 11 chapters talking about, now, in light of that, in gratitude for that, live your life as living sacrifices, which involves the renewing of our minds so that we would know what the will of God is and we would live it out. Now, he starts to apply that very practically. And we're going to pick it up with verses 3 through 8. He says, for by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. If service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. So notice that Paul, as he begins to apply this teaching that he's given for 11 chapters, I find it very interesting that the place that he goes first to is inside the church and not outside. He goes inside to the church and he starts talking about spiritual gifts. This is the first time that spiritual gifts are mentioned in the New Testament, I believe. I meant to check that before I just said that, but I think I might be right. And I sure am hoping, but I know there's someone out there that if I'm wrong, you're going to tell me and I appreciate it, all right? But he goes inside the church first. And notice that he starts with a self-assessment. He wants the followers of Jesus in that church to think sensibly, which makes sense. He's coming out of the renewing of your mind that we just read. And so he's saying an aspect of the mind that's been renewed is a sensible self-assessment. It's one who does not take themselves too high or too low. And so what I want us to notice is that the way Paul starts this is he says it's really important for a church That as people come in, as they connect, as they become members of the church, it's really important that they do so with a proper self-assessment. And he says, it better not be too high. So you have to ask yourself, would you say, and what's really interesting, notice he makes a connection between one's self-assessment and spiritual gifts. So there's a connection there that's really important. How you assess yourself will directly impact how you give and receive the spiritual gifts that each follower of Jesus is given. And if you come in here too high of an assessment, and that is, you know, hey, I'm doing well. I really don't need anyone's help. And I know I'm describing somebody in here. I'm describing someone that's watching online as well. Or maybe it looks like this. You know, I'm just really not interested in that right now because I'm just too busy. And I'll address that in a little bit. But to think of oneself as too high is to think one doesn't need to be helped by anybody, or one is just kind of above. I'm just too busy. Maybe when I have more time, I'll do that. But there's also the other side of it, and that is you can come in here too low. And that's this idea that I'm not good enough. God can't use me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Yes, he can use you, and yes, he wants to use you. But Paul is cautioning and warning that our engagement of spiritual gifts is impacted by our spiritual assessment of ourselves, our self-assessment, and we better not be too high, we better not be too low. What do you think we must be? Just right. Well, what is just right? Well, he says there at the end of verse 3, he says that God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, when he says a measure of faith there, he could either mean a quantity. In other words, that God has given you and given different individuals certain amounts of faith, and based on the amount of faith you have, you must think sensibly as how you assess yourself. Most likely, that's not what Paul's talking about. There might be some small part of that, but it has more to do with spiritual gifts than it does, and I'll come to that in a minute. What he's saying is he's using the measure of faith as a standard by which to measure yourself against, not a quantity, to see how much you have. And the standard that he's using is the gospel. It is what Jesus Christ has done for us. So he's wanting us to come in, to engage in the church, and to understand how we both give and receive spiritual gifts when we measure our lives up against the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And if you understand the gospel, is that you are so broken, and I am so broken, that you need a savior. And we got to start there. But also, we are so loved and adored that we are pursued by God in a way you cannot even imagine. Tim Keller, and I've quoted him many times with this. He summarizes the gospel this way. He says, you got to realize you're more broken than you ever could understand, but you're also more loved than you dared imagine. And that really is, that's the gospel. And when you assess yourself in light of that, that you are more broken than you really understand, but you're more loved than you could ever imagine, that keeps you kind of equal. That keeps you kind of level. That keeps you in the right place in order to engage the gifts. Now, and that's the second aspect. As we assess ourselves, man, we have this powerful truth here that what Paul is saying, and God is inspiring Paul to write this, he is saying that you are valuable to God, and he wants to work through you. And as a matter of fact, he's going to give you at least one spiritual gift, more likely more than that, that he wants to use in your life to help other people with what they're struggling with or how they're challenged. So imagine how you would feel about it, and the worth that you need to sense from that is that God has chosen to work through you and wants to work through you using your spiritual gifts that he's given you and that he's given me. And so for that purpose, it's important that we recognize how we come into what church is. I suspect that a lot of people walk into the gym thinking too highly of themselves. Have you ever maybe seen some of those people? They wouldn't go to a gym that didn't have a mirror. I mean, they're, you know, anyways. I think some people come in probably too high on themselves. But some people come in too low as well. They come in and I imagine they think, I can't do this. How many times have I been here? How many times have I tried this? I just can't do it. But for the church, you can come in here. I need to come in here, and I need to come in here just right. We need to be mindful that we're more broken than we ever thought. And so there's humility, but we're also more loved than we ever dared imagine. And there's Godfidence. And then we've been given a spiritual gift that God says, I want to work through you in the lives of other people. And so we carry that kind of that mentality and that understanding and that self-assessment into the church. Now, I'm just asking you, how have you assessed yourself in coming to High Point, whether you're a member now or you're attending? I mean, do you feel like you're coming in too high? Is there a part of you that says, I really don't need help? I'm good. I mean, I've asked people, can I pray for you? No, I'm good. Wow. Okay. All right. Or are you in that place where you're kind of like, I'm coming and I'm sitting here, I'm here, but you know what? I'm just too busy to really serve anybody. I'm just too busy to really take the gift that God has given me at this point. I got other things going on in my life and just too busy to use that gift to serve and help and benefit and bring up and raise up and build up other people. Just too busy for that. Or have you come in here low? Do you think, man, God can't use me? Yes, he can. He wants to. If you hear nothing else this morning, I pray you hear that. Well, let's keep moving on. He, as I mentioned, he introduces this idea of the church as a body. Verse 4, now we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function. He's talking about our human bodies. And is that not true? We have one body, but we have many parts working within our body. And he's using that as a metaphor. He says, in the same way, verse 5, we who are many are one body in Christ. He's talking about this one body in Christ, and he uses this analogy many other places. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul many places uses this metaphor. It's a powerful metaphor. It's important that we understand the metaphor because I think it brings out the importance of what he's trying to say. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, listen, he says something very similar. Verse 12, he says, for as the body is one and has many parts, all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. I'm going to skip down to verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But God has now placed each one of the parts in one body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same parts, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. And then skipping down to verse 26. He says, so if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. I mean, that's a powerful analogy he uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this idea is that we've been given these gifts by God. He hands them out. So it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is. It doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter what your education level is. God's given you a gift. He's distributed them as he wants. And so it's not like you don't have to be, there's not a vote. There's not a pecking order. What we do here is we try to look at it and say, okay, God, how have you gifted the people in our church family? And we want to make sure we're getting them into places where that gift will flourish because there's a mutual benefit to the person who's serving and the person who's receiving that service. In Ephesians chapter 4, which is another place Paul talks about gifts, he talks about that we're all given gifts to build up the body, and he says, into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. For everybody in here who's a follower of Jesus, for everyone who's tending online, that's the goal, is that we have the Spirit of God using the Word of God and the people of God as they exercise the spiritual gifts they've been given to shape us and fashion us into the likeness of Jesus. Why? Because Paul in 1 Corinthians said, we are the body of Christ. Just let this truth settle for a moment. The church, the capital C church, which is made up of many, many, many local churches, of which High Point is one of them. We are the physical manifestation of Jesus in the world. That's the strategy God chose. You might want to question that and ask him when you get up there, why'd you do that? maybe because of churches that you've seen or churches that you've been involved in that seemingly were anything but the physical manifestation of Jesus in the world, and I get that. But I hope and pray that's never said of us. That we are, as followers of Jesus, those in the room who are followers, we're the physical presence of Christ in the world. He said to his disciples, I've got to leave. He says, you're going to do greater things than I have done. Well, who could do greater things than Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection? But he didn't mean in quality, he meant in quantity. He goes, I can only be in one place at one time. But my people who have the Spirit of God inside them with spiritual gifts that have been given to them so that they can be the physical presence of Christ in the world can do much. And that's where we are. That's who we are. That's what High Point is about. And this body analogy is so important because we can understand it. Every one of us in this room, I can say this with complete certainty, every one of us in this room has a body. That's impressive, isn't it? You're saying, man, when I hear stuff like that, I would actually pay for this, but you get it for free. We have bodies. And we know how important it is that our bodies and the roles of each member of our body is functioning together. Is it amazing how one small little tooth can have you crippling on the ground crying like a baby? One small part of your body, if it is not cooperating or if one part goes rogue, imagine if my right hand went rogue and I just start hitting myself in the face, you'd think, that's not normal. And it would be hurtful, it would be harmful. But we can understand that. And what we have to understand is that we are a family. And I'll get to that in a moment. There's a powerful verse that I want to share with you that I hope brings that into full focus. But Paul's acknowledging, he's saying that individually we're members of one another. So just like our human bodies, where we're really counting on all the parts of our bodies working together, because when all of them are working together, we're healthy and we want to be healthy. When they're all working together, we can go out and do some amazingly fun things. Let me just tell you, when I hit a golf ball, small little golf ball with a club, and I hit it like, far and straight on occasion, I need my whole body working together there. I need my eye hand coordination working. I need my body swinging in the right sequence to make that happen. And when it happens, I mean, I don't know there's a greater feeling than when you see the ball going where you want to go. And you could hit something really hard and not go to jail for it. I mean, it just feels really good. Okay? But that's our bodies working together. And we could certainly speak of the amazing accomplishments and achievements in human history because the body was working. The brain was functioning. The creativity was just pouring out and oozing out. Right? The endurance was just to behold, right? So we understand that with our human bodies, and we need to understand it with our church body, with the body of Christ, is that we're counting on each other and we need each other to be functioning in our roles, because a healthy church needs all the parts of the body functioning in their roles. And by parts of the body, I mean spiritual gifts. That's what Paul starts talking about. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. If service, service. If teaching, teaching. If exhortation. He's just saying, if you have a gift, use it. And when you're using it, when a local church is using it and everyone's working together, these spiritual gifts, they come together and we serve one another. And just like in the human body, we have in the church, there's an interdependence that we desperately need. We don't need independence. People that come into the gym, they come in not with an interdependent relationship with other people in the gym. They come in with an independent relationship, and they're pretty much about themselves. But could you imagine if you were come into the gym, and all of a sudden everybody sees you coming in, and everybody sees one another, and they run over and they start spotting you. They start encouraging, you can do it. They come over and they tell you maybe your technique's wrong, but man, they're fully engaged and they're all over you and you're all over them helping them, and everyone's like, oh, this is how it should be. You might say, I wouldn't join that gym because that's a little much. I don't need to be pushed that much. But you don't see that in a gym. And you won't see that in a gym, because the gym isn't the body of Christ with an interdependence that has been given and granted by the spiritual gifts that we've been given. You just won't see that. But we need it. And the world needs to see that we need it. And God gives you and me each these spiritual gifts. Now, he gives different gifts to different people, and he gives different degrees. Like, God's given me the gift of teaching, and I share that with you. But you could go to the internet and flip on 100 different people that teach. They blow me away in teaching. And that's okay. I'm just taking the gift that God's given me. I'm trying to use it the very best that I can, just like they're doing it, just like you would do it. And the idea is that we're building each other up. Remember, what's the goal? To look like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to live like Jesus, and to love like him. And that's different than a gym. That's church. That's what I hope and pray that we are, where some of you are incredible organizers and administrators, and we desperately need you. Some of you are amazing teachers, and there's opportunities for that, whether it's up here or whether it's in a small group or in Kids Zone or student ministry or one-on-one. You need to flourish and use that gift in that way. Some of you are tech people, and let me just say, we could use a few more tech people, but some of you are tech people, and you actually like being around a computer, and you want to learn. Some of you are incredible encouragers, and you just come up, and the class is always half full with you, and people need to hear that. Some of you are incredibly hospitable. I mean, you come over to my house, you're lucky to get a cup of water if I'm there, right? Now, my wife's a little different. I will turn on ESPN for you. I'll do that much, okay? But you go to other people's houses, and man, you just look at that. You go, okay, I'm humbled by this hospitality. It's amazing, and it makes you feel good, thankful to be a part and in relationship with such a kind and generous person. There are people who like children, people who like students. And the idea is that as all of us are exercising and functioning in the gifts that we've been given, the passions that we have, we are the physical manifestation of Jesus in the world. And people are drawn to that. Some of you, and I've had conversations with a few of you, where you're kind of feeling like, is God calling me into vocational ministry? Is God calling me out of what I'm doing and into something entirely? I mean, that's what he called me out of being a CPA and being a pastor. I think all pastors should take accounting courses because they'll be driven to ministry at some point. I mean, it's just, yeah, it'll do that to you. But being called into ministry, and you know, you gotta wonder if you're being called into ministry. Do I have the aptitude? Do I have the ability? Is it wise for me to do this right now? Is it the right timing? Are the circumstances such that this is going to work? Do I have the spiritual maturity and a track record that shows that? And if so, then don't discount the fact that God might be calling some of you to be in full-time Christian service. He's calling us all the time in that way. He's calling us all the time to rise up with our spiritual gifts and to serve one another. And I'll just one small thought here, specific to High Point. And that is that we're not operating fully. And all cylinders are not firing. And we're not as healthy as we can be. Because there are some of you who have spiritual gifts that we need. And God's drawn you here. But you're not in the game. And the gifts that we're looking for, the gifts that we need, the hardest thing for me as a pastor in some sense is they're right here in this room. And they're in you. And we need you in the game. We really need you in the game. We need your gift to round out who we are as the physical manifestation of Jesus in the world. And I hope and pray that you would give strong consideration after this message to rethink maybe and to look at what's going on that's keeping you from doing that, okay? But let me close by just giving some final thoughts just about the church in general. Earlier, you heard me say that we are like a family. But maybe, might I say, that we are at least as important as a nuclear family, maybe even more. I'm going to take you to Mark chapter 3. Listen to how Jesus elevates. Jesus elevates the church family to at least the status of a nuclear family. In Mark chapter 3, verse 33, Jesus is replying. He says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who were sitting in a circle around him, the Lord said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my mother, or excuse me, is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus is elevating the nuclear family. He's elevating the church family, at least to the status of the nuclear family. He's saying it's that important. This family right here is that important. Now, certainly it's like a cherry on top when your nuclear family are followers of Jesus. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that. Not only are they part of your nuclear family, but they're part of your church family. And man, that's just sweet stuff there. But let me ask you, in your families, your nuclear families, mom and dad, if one of your kids like says, I'm not going to clean up my room. I'm not really going to engage in I'm not going to sit at the dinner table with the family when we eat dinner. I'm just going to kind of do my own thing. I mean, I'm guessing as mom and dad, you're like, no, you're not. That's not how it's going down. And you recognize that's just not healthy. That's not how families are. Well, think about it from the church family standpoint. When I see people just doing their own thing, they're not engaged. It says that's hard. Now, I realize I'm not your parent, and I don't want to be, but I am your pastor, and I'm just sharing that with you, that you and God can kind of work through that. Secondly is, do you realize that most of your prayers, most of my prayers, will be answered through a member of your church? That's just how God's going to do it. We pray, God, help me with this, help me with that, help me with this hard decision, help me with these resources that I need because times are tough right now. Give me some understanding for a difficult decision I'm facing. Encourage me because I just can't seem to get over the hump here. I'm really struggling. Or connect me with people. I just feel lonely. God, help me. Most of the answers to your prayers and mine will come through a member of this church or whatever church you're a part of. That's just how God is going to work. Third thing I'd like to say is that it is entirely possible to serve too much. Some of you love to serve. That's like your spiritual pathway. You love it. And of course, I realized as I was thinking and making this point, I thought, I'm going to be talking to people who probably aren't even here because they're probably serving somewhere. But on the off chance that they might watch it later, whatever, it's entirely possible to serve too much, to where serving and doing becomes more important than being and just being present and not having anything in your hands or not anything on your mind other than God and just spending time in his presence, worshiping him and drawing close to him without doing something. Because if it's and we've seen it, it's happened at High Point, people have burned out. And we try to be really careful when someone wants to serve. We're like, what else are you doing? I have said to people before, I've said to people in 2023, you're doing too much. You got to peel back. It's just not healthy. Now, I realize there are seasons, and I acknowledge that there are seasons where you really got to step back for a minute, that it's probably helpful and necessary to step back. I get that. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a new baby. Maybe it's just a family crisis. Maybe you're burned out because there wasn't someone there, or maybe a previous church was saying, or heaven forbid, maybe it was High Point, and we didn't see the limit. We didn't see the bar. And so we get that. I understand that. But my friends, if you stay there too long, it becomes your new normal. And we hurt for that, and you hurt for that. And so you got to be really careful. I want to acknowledge that there are seasons, but I want to acknowledge that it's very easy to get, and if the antithesis of Christianity is pursuing comfort, it's just really easy to get there. And some of you might think, and I know some of you maybe have kind of, your service has devolved into sporadic volunteer moments. May I take you back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1? What did he say? A living sacrifice. Living modifies sacrifice. We are to live our lives characterized by sacrifice, not sporadic moments here and there. That's what the renewing of one's mind, that's what understanding and believing and diving deep into the mercies of God then out of gratitude results in. So just think about that. Next, almost there, guys. Some of you are comfortable giving money, but nothing else. And when you give money, but not yourself, that hurts you and it hurts the church. You see, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and do that. And Jesus was not going around giving money. He gave himself. Ministry is face-to-face interaction. That's what it is. We're the physical presence of Jesus in the world. You don't get that on a dollar bill. You get that with flesh and bone and a face that shows love and compassion and mercy. And so ministry does need resources. I'm not going to deny that. But you hurt yourself when you just give because it's easier. You're just reinforcing that kind of that I just want to do things that are easy and comfortable. And you miss out on the opportunity. And the church is hurting because we have the money to do the resources, but we need people. Otherwise, we're running around and we're exhausted at times. A few weeks ago, Stephen showed that video of the pastor running around. He was just showing up. Everyone's, you know, pressing their button. All right, I need my pastor. And, it, you know, we all laughed at it because it's true at times. Not just for me. It's you know, for the people that are serving that look at and see people that are not and going, I really need help. I'm tired. I'm close to burnout, but I'm doing things that are outside of my passion area. They're even outside of my area of giftedness, but they need to be done and they're vital. And that's when I come back to, I know, and those gifts are here. They're in this room. I pray that they're unlocked and unleashed after this morning. Last thing I'll say about church is that individualism is the enemy of the church. We are immersed with messages about us as individuals. And a lot has been accomplished by individuals. But I would say to a great detriment, the church has suffered because we come in and we come in with that individual mindset, with that consumeristic mindset. What's in it for me? What's the best deal that I can get? What's the most I can get for the least amount of effort? We're just conditioned for that. But that's not how the church works. That's not how Jesus lived his life and invites us to follow him. And so we have to be really careful about how we think in that way. And so I guess my question to finish is, what is High Point? Who are we? Are we a gym or like a gym? Or are we a church? My hope and prayer is that we're a church. And my hope and prayer is that those of you that have not jumped in yet will jump in and be blessed and be a blessing. So my challenge this week in light of this teaching is I'm going to ask you, you'll see there's the all hands on deck form. Let's take a minute, take that. You should be sitting on one or there should be one in front of you. The all hands on deck form. This is for Easter. I mean, we need help for Easter and for the different services. We need help. And I'm just going to ask you just to look at it. I want you to take a moment and check something. But with the intention of doing it. That we could all jump on, get hands on deck for an incredible opportunity we have on a Saturday night and Sunday morning to be the physical presence of Jesus in the world. The people who come maybe as Christers, right? Christmas and Easter, we got a shot at them. Okay? But we need you. And my hope is that you'll find that this is something that you like doing and that this will carry over not just for one Sunday or a Saturday night, but it will carry over for many more weeks after that. But I want you to take a moment just to fill that out. You can give it, put it in the boxes in the back, or you can give it to someone at the kiosk on the way out. But please help us out. Please help us out. Secondly is, would you identify your spiritual gifts? And we have a link on our website where you can take a spiritual growth survey, a spiritual gift survey, and it'll help you identify what that is. And then the best thing to do is just get started somewhere. Don't wait to exactly hone in on exactly what it is, just by trial and error. Go through that survey and kind of say, okay, based on this, so there's a process. Someone will follow up with you and kind of encourage you and push you along in the right, not push, that's probably not a good word. Someone will guide you, encourage you with their spiritual gift of encouragement, into something that'll help you really, really flourish. Okay? And then lastly, did I mention Easter? please invite someone to Easter. We will show them the love of Christ. We will share with them, as one beggar would share with another beggar where they found food, we will share with them the love of Christ for them and the life-changing love that that is. So please invite them, okay? Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your patience with us. God, I pray that we are a church. And Father, I pray especially for those who are here, those who are tuned in, God, who just have not gotten in. Maybe that's been a season where they've just needed to step back, Lord God, and now they have the energy. I pray they would jump in. Father, I know there are some who are having a season right now that it's just really hard, and I pray they would not feel any guilt at all. Guilt does not come from you. But Father, I pray they would sense some excitement and some hope for the day that's close where they will be able to be ready again and to be used by you, Lord. May we do all this for your glory and good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.